Father, we give you the praise this morning. We thank you for the sweet, sweet spirit that is in this place. And Lord, I want to give a special shout out to some of those who have gone through operations in the past couple of weeks. Sister Catherine, her husband, and Brother Noel led us so beautifully in worship today as our worship team, and I want to thank them for that. But Catherine, we miss you. We miss you in Bible study. And to Darlene, Sister Darlene, who has gone back to Alabama to be with her grandchildren, we certainly understand how that feels. And then, Lord, all of those who worked so hard on yesterday, both Living Hope Fellowship and the El Fugio Church, and had given of themselves to beautify our grounds. We thank you so much for that. Lord, we thank you for the new youth class that is in its second week. And Lord, we pray that those hearts will be stirred and that they would go back to their classes revived, wanting to stand up for Jesus, even in that place. We thank you and we praise you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Here's where we're going this morning. And for those of you who were not here last week, we're going to catch you up so you can kind of get a picture of what's going on. Let me say this before we show anything. We're coming from the book of Proverbs, the 13th chapter. Proverbs is a great book in terms of the people of Israel wanting to get aligned with God's thinking. That's basically what this book behind everything. The primary subjects in it are prosperity, health, and security. But behind all of that is the notion that I believe God's got a word for me. I believe God has a way for me to deal with these issues. If I am dealing with insecurity or anxiousness, God has a way, and I want to know what that is. If we're dealing with health, how many of you have had a health experience or have a loved one that had a health experience, even within the last year? I should consult God because sometime God's trying to get my attention. Can I get a witness? And then prosperity, which has to do with our resources, what God has provided for us. The Israelites felt, and I believe that the church of today must also feel, I should consult God first. Can I get a witness? I should find out what God's thinking is on a thing before I do it. Now, I've preached to you about many subjects, and I think we, Cheryl and I, have been here this coming up. No, not this coming up week. After this coming up week, we will have been here a year with you, and we have preached all over the Bible. Can I get a witness? And hopefully it has given you confidence in what God's word says about a thing. You know, the thing about it, God doesn't push us. He doesn't make us do what his word says, but he gives us his perspective on everything. Isn't that something? Deke, on everything, we can find out what God's thinking is and we can line up with it or we cannot. What the Israelites discovered is is that if you line up with God's thinking, life is better. Y'all hear me? That when I line up with God's thinking, my life goes better. Sort of like your car. You ever have your car to get out of line sometime because you've hit a pothole or your tires got bald and you kept driving them until the tire burst and they said, okay, we're going to let you buy new tires, but you still have to get the car what? Aligned now so that it will keep the tires even and it will last longer. Well, the Israelites discovered something very unusual, very real. And that is that if I line my head, if I line my thinking with God's thinking, my life goes better. Sermon over. No. That my life goes better. How many want that this morning? A life where my life goes better. And so the subject that we went to in our text on Proverbs 13 was this notion of prosperity. I'm not a prosperity preacher per se, but I believe what the Bible says about prosperity. And so I preach the Bible. And so God's anointing has brought me to this particular message for this particular season. Why is that? God never takes me somewhere that somebody doesn't need it, that somebody doesn't have a need for a better life in this area. And so that led me to the title, Help! Everybody say, Help! My money is broke. My money is broke. And that may not be you, but it's somebody, somebody you know. And what we discovered last week was that money is not broke. I can be broke in my thinking. Are you with me? I can be broke in what I think about God's resources, but God's resources are never broke. The Bible says that God has 1,000 hills with all of the cattle on them. So he's not broke. I can be broke because I'm not aligned with God's thinking. I can be broke because I don't try to get right with his thinking, which causes me to have problems financially. I didn't mention this last week, but I want to mention this to you now. Cheryl and I have been debt-free for about 15 years now. Debt-free. We haven't had a mortgage. Y'all don't hear me. We haven't had a mortgage in over 15 years. We're not rich by any means. But what I'm saying, I believe can help somebody in terms of what God has to say. Am I right about it, honey? I believe that somebody here, some young person who thinks that money grows on trees will get freed up today and understand that maybe it's not the tree I should be looking at, but it's Jesus in terms of what God's word has to say about how I handle not my resources, because I came here with nothing, but God's resources. Proverbs 13, the backdrop. All parents taught their children the book of Proverbs. So you young people, you would know this book in and out if you were back during this time. But even if we're not back during this time, you should be teaching your children and your grandchildren as you should have been taught about how to be a good steward of God's resources. Can I get a witness? No wonder sometimes we find waste, and especially in this generation that tends to focus on itself, that if I just find out what God has to say, I might do better. He says a wise son heeds his father's what? Instruction, his teaching. But a mocker, that means a fool. A mocker does not respond to rebukes. In other words, no matter how much you try to teach them, no matter what you say, they tend to say, I can do it my way better. No, you can't. You cannot beat God in terms of how to live your life. There are six principles here. We did three last week. And because I believe this word was so important, I'm just going to reiterate them for you. This way, if you want to take a picture of the screen or if you want to write it down, you can. But I'm telling you, it helped me and Cheryl to not be broke. It is not a sermon on how to get more money. It's not a sermon of how to get God to bless you. You want to get God to bless you? You tithe. He'll bless you all day long. But I'm going to make a statement that's going to make some of you mad. Some of the poorest broke folk are Christians. Some of the poorest broke folk I know of are people who say they love the Lord. So the issue is not God blessing you. It's about what you do with what God has blessed you. Am I making sense? All right, then. So let me just quickly hit those first three principles, not that Leroy Gainey made up, but that God said. And the first one was this: don't pretend to be something you're not. Don't pretend to be something you're not. You may sit there and you might say to yourself, well, how will this make me broke? This will make you broke quick, because you gotta get stuff to make you look like you more than what you are. You gotta buy something bigger so that people will think you have what you really don't have. When I was a child, we used to play pretend. Anybody here play pretend? I used to love to play, Rashawn, cowboys and Indians. But you know, there was a difference in how the cowboys dress and how the Indians dress. And so you had to buy the outfit, you had to get the guns, you had to buy the arrow, and you may even have had to get that old phony horse. There was a stick with the horse head on, and you had to have a hat. No way you could be a cowboy or a bonnet if you was the Native American. But the key thing is to pretend it costs. And somebody, I didn't have to pay for it. But somebody paid for it, my parents, and I'm sure, you know, for those of you who pay pretending, that when you got older, hopefully you put away childish things. When you got older, you stopped pretending. And you made the decision that wherever I am and whatever I have, Lord, help me to not be broke. Can I get a witness? Wherever I am, you know where I am. I don't have to hide from you. But I know that you can take me and you can do something with me that nobody else can. Pretending. In my culture, I grew up in the Bronx, New York, in Olga. From the time you could realize there was a difference in clothing, I wanted to buy alligator shoes and lizard shoes, not just regular shoes now, but alligator and lizard shoes. And the suits had to be silk and wool. So now I'm in the sixth grade. I got a little shoe shine job, but I had to have a silk and wool suit for wherever I went somewhere or going to church, because I wanted to what? Pretend that I was something that I wasn't. And I discovered I couldn't keep up with everybody else. I was only making, when we started work early, like seventh grade, you went out there and you shined shoes or you did something, but you didn't just sit around. But I made at the most $32 a week. And shoes, alligator shoes cost $100 and the suit cost $125. So I was already broke. Can I get a witness here? Don't pretend to be something you're not. The word says this. One person pretends to be rich, yet has nothing. Another pretends to be poor, yet has great wealth. You know, the suggestion here is that if you have to pretend, go lower. Go lower rather than higher. Because going lower, it don't cost as much. In other words, if you want to get some old raggedy jeans with holes in them, and by the way, that's the style today. If you had holy jeans in my day, then if you don't get back in that house and change those clothes, you can't go out of here looking like that. That is a reflection of me. But today, they'll take a new pair of jeans and cut holes in them. Going lower is not bad, but going higher, and what I mean by that is pretending to be rich, generally causes you to become broke. Am I making sense? All right. We're going to go on to two. There's no such thing as easy money. No such thing as easy money. Look at what, this is the word. Is this the word? You can't make this up. This is the true word right here. It says dishonest money dwindles away. But he who gathers money little by little, that means going to work, will make it grow. Anybody here ever made any dishonest money? Don't raise your hand. Dishonest money always, we used to call it fast money. Can I get a witness? In other words, somebody tell you, oh, you can get this real easy right here. Oh, let me tell you what, we came from a culture that played numbers, which is the same thing as lotto today. Only thing, it was not legal back then, but we played it. And God let us know quick, the quicker it comes, the quicker it goes. What I need you to do is to go to work. Even if it's Burger King or McDonald's, I need for you to do something, because I only bless what you do. I don't bless laziness. I don't bless doing nothing. I don't bless those things. What I bless is your effort. And even if your effort is not as high as it could be, I can still bless the little something you put in. In other words, if you put nothing in, you get what? Nothing out. Is that a principle of God? Look up at somebody and tell them, let's do something. Look at somebody else and tell them, let's do something. I'm sure Deacon Tom's right about now said, I wish some folk would have said yesterday, let's do something. Let's come out here and help pick up. You know, God blesses, and it is a blessing when we see the results of what we do. Am I wrong or right? Our effort, God says, I'll bless. He'll bless your church. He'll bless you individually. But you can't just sit around on your hands and look for God to make that grow. You want oranges, you got to plant what? Oranges. You want apples, you got to plant what? Apples. You know, whatever you plant, he says that'll grow. But there's nowhere in the Bible that says you can plant nothing As a matter of fact, you can't plant nothing. Because planting requires, even in a marriage, you want your marriage to become more enriched. You want your marriage to be more romantic. You want your marriage to be more exciting. Then you've got to what? Somebody said, I ain't doing that. I'm too used to, I'm not doing that. Well, then you must be too used to getting nothing. Because nothing from nothing leaves what? Oh, nothing from nothing leaves nothing. Third principle. See, these were all last week. This is the last one from last week. Invest in self-improvement. You can't help nobody until you help yourself. And that's one reason why parents invest in children's education. We always say, we'll get you up through your bachelor degree, but after that, you're on your own. And the reason for that is that at some point, a person has to decide, you know what? There's an equation here. And the equation is, if you look at the word learning, look at the word learning in your mind, L-E-A-R-N-I-N-G. You got it? Take L off of it, and what do you have? Earning, right? Learning plus the right situation will increase your what? Earning. Let's say it one more time. Learning plus the right situation. If you're in the wrong situation where people don't value you, it's not going to change you. But you get to a place where people value you, then your earning will go up. But you got to have something. You got to have something that people need. You got to have something that people want. And if you don't have some self-improvement, hear me, young people. You're at a point now where probably your parents are pouring into you. And they're saying, oh, you're going to be this and oh, you're going to be that. And the biggest way to cut off the check is just to stop doing anything. Why? Because they ain't going to invest in you going anywhere. Try spending your parents' tuition. You let them know, I'm in college my freshman year, and here's my grades. I got an F in everything. That's a quick way to say, you better get back home, and let's get you a job at McDonald's or a Burger King or something, but you're not going to mess up my tuition, my invest, what I worked for. I'm not trying to be funny. I'm just preaching what God said already. Look at what he says here. Every prudent man, a prudent person is somebody who looks forward to the future. Hey, y'all, young people, I'm not a doctor yet, but if I keep on what? And investing in me, then I can help somebody else. I'm not a scientist yet, but if I keep on what? Keep on working, then I'll be able to help somebody. Am I making sense to you? You can't help nobody if you don't have anything to work with. A prudent person acts out of knowledge, but a fool exposes his folly. In other words, if you get up and try to pretend that you know what you know or what you don't know, eventually people will find out and they'll stop listening to you or they'll stop coming to you. Have you ever had a doctor that was incompetent and you said to yourself, you said, you know what? I wasn't going to do this, but first of all, I'm going to report you because you're just taking money from people. And I need to report you so that Kaiser will get rid of you, because when I come to Kaiser, I expect what? I expect to get something. And not you sitting up here telling me bad information, and I'm getting sicker rather than better. Invest in self-knowledge. You hear me? Y'all hear me? Y'all hear me? Don't put it all on stuff that's gonna be gone tomorrow. It's not going to be worth it. And especially when we start talking about the outer person. And I'm not saying you shouldn't put anything on the outer person, but the inner person. You get that as well strengthened as you can. And you won't ever have to worry about being broke, because people will come to you for what you know or what you can do or what you have that can help them. Just ask Steph Curry. Steph Curry probably out there just shooting baskets. He wasn't even thinking, can I get a witness? You know, one day I'm going to be a basketball player, and I don't know if I'll make the NBA or not. And I'm not using him as an example to say everybody got to be that. But I'm just saying, he didn't start off making $60 million a year. He started off like the rest of us. I got to keep working. And guess what? He's still investing in himself. He spends about $1 million a year in keeping his body strong, because he's an athlete. And he's not the only one that does that. All right. Now, this brings us to today. We're just starting to preach now. All right. Hey, I'm going to tell you what. God's word is true. You can don't want it, or you can say, I want that part, but I don't want that part. The reason why many of us, and I've been there too, continue to be broke is because we don't improve ourselves. Things change. You still typing using your typewriter, and they don't use typewriters no more. They use computers. And what do you need to do? You need to get some self-improvement. Go learn how to use that computer. You know, I use the typewriter. Some of these young people don't know what a typewriter is. But that's what they used to use in my day. You know what a typewriter is. All right. Number four, fourth principle. Control your spending. Control your spending. Proverbs 13:18. He who ignores discipline, look at somebody and tell them, discipline means control. You got discipline in here? Certain things I don't eat because I'm a diabetic. Why? Because I now have discipline. I used to didn't have discipline. And old people would ask me, what are your numbers as a diabetic? And I hate to tell them, about 500. 500! I didn't have any discipline. And I learned something, that if I didn't get that under control by my age now, I'd be dead. Am I making sense to you? He or she who ignores discipline comes to poverty, broke, and shame. But whoever heeds correction is honored. You have to come to a point where you say to yourself, nobody gets to have everything they want. I don't care how much money you have. At some point, you have to say no. And that's a hard word, because sometimes we look in our houses, we can't even get our car in there because we've got all the yeses that we did. Can I get a witness? Go into some of our closets and you got all the shoes, still got the tags on them. Because why? No discipline. Where do we get discipline from? Well, discipline number one comes from knowing what is the right thing and the wrong thing to put your resources into. And here is one place that we really need the Holy Spirit's help. Because sometimes we even have to tell our children no. And I tell you what, I'd even have a harder time telling my grandchildren no. Can I get a witness? Because those little people right there, you know, we need to have that around us. But sometimes we try to buy them. And I'm saying discipline says, you know what? I cannot do everything. I cannot buy everything, not without endangering the resources that God has given me. This is old Bob Ebert right here. He's a prime example. He won $73,000, $338. That's how much he won. Now, I don't even know if Bob is real. I don't even know if Bob exists, but we always see something like this. You know what? Old Tom, he won $100,000. Old Rashawn, she won $1 million. And you can too. As a matter of fact, all you have to do is use the Gale Howard balance wheel system and you can be rich too. Can I get a witness? I've never known anybody. You know, if anything, that'll get you broke. Where you get straight. Why is that? Your focus is not on God. Your focus is on money. And money is a competitor of God. Because money says, I'll make you happy. I'll give you everything that you want. I'll even give you the right partner. I'll even give you the right house. You know, and this is the problem with government. Because government is good at handing out money. Now, they're good at taking money, too. It's called taxes. But I just want you to know, so you know how the cycle goes, that to get you hooked, they give out money. And you become loyal. And I'm saying, God says, I don't want you to be loyal to money. I don't want you to be loyal to government. I don't want you to be loyal to another person. I want you to be loyal to me. I don't want you to fall in love with the blessing. I want you to fall in love with the blesser. I've got 1,000 blessings wrapped up in my hand, and I want to release them to you. Am I preaching this morning? Am I preaching? Here's a couple. You know, if you just get a helicopter like mine, how many of you have ever been under that? That is a bad thing when you're under the Joneses. You got a neighbor that look like every time you turn around, they got something new. They got a new car. They got a new fence. They got a new something good. They got a new jacuzzi. They got a pool and you don't have one. And so what do? You hawk everything. You got a second. You got a third and a fourth on the house. Oh, there we go. Anybody here play lotto? Nobody. Okay. Everybody says, don't look to the left. Don't look to the right. The odds of you winning big, because you know in your mind, you don't even think about, oh, I might win me $20, which would be $20 more than what you have. In your mind, you're looking at that big jackpot. Ooh, $1 billion. You know what I could do with $1 billion? And the odds of winning $1 billion is like 1 to 19 million trillion. Can I give you something a lot more solid? Try Jesus. Try his word. Because the same security that you're after, the same blessing that you're after and more is available through a relationship with the Lord. He says, you just give to my church. You give to what I stand for. Tell me, did he say this? I'll pour you out. Did he say that? I'll pour you out. How many in here this morning have ever had the Lord to pour you out a blessing that you don't have even room enough to receive? If my leg wasn't bad, I'd dance all over the place today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Because I know I didn't deserve it. But just because I tried you a little bit, I seen you pour out. And it wasn't always money. Many times it was in so many other areas. Just having a long-term marriage. That's what I want. You see, that's what tithing and stewardship is about. And you notice I haven't pushed that area because I don't have to. You've heard it before. If I line myself up with God's thinking, y'all don't hear me. If I line myself up with God's thinking, young people, if I line, why are we in the class with Deacon Tom? Because he's trying to what? Help me to line up my thinking with God's thinking. Things will go better. I know a lot of people who had their focus on money. And when they got the money, their lives wasn't better. Their lives were worse. We listen to substance. And for y'all of you who don't know what that is, that's crack. That's a crack pipe. You put your hope in happiness, your trust in putting things in your body that's not supposed to go in there. They only keep you happy for a moment. Have you ever seen somebody say this? Oh, I got to be a lawyer using crack. Oh, guess what? I'm a pilot of an airplane and I smoke crack every day. Ain't no commercials for that. Why? Because there's plenty of commercials of people whose lives go the other way. Thinking. And that goes for any substance abuse. And you have to be careful how you ingest substance around your young people. Because what you tell them, and I'm not just talking about crack here now. And I'm not coming down on anybody. I'm just simply saying that when you use something that is pseudo joy. That's what I call it, pseudo joy, false joy. It never ends up good. Never. And I've never seen a rich junkie. Can I get a witness? It will suck you. It will take from you. Can I get a witness? And it'll keep you from doing what you're supposed to. That's a person up here who God blessed, but he put it into stuff that wasn't godly. And the IRS came after him. You ever hear that? Person making millions of dollars and they won't pay a tax bill that's a portion of those millions. And then IRS is now taking it plus the penalty. That's a quick way to get broke, isn't it? Here's my little friend right here. You ever seen him before? You know what he's saying? Hey, y'all, repeat this after me. I know I'm right about this. My hope is built. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I don't care what I did in the past. That's right. You can clap on this for him. I don't care what you did in the past. I don't care what you did yesterday. Today starts a new day. I'm going to do this God's way. I'm tired of letting stuff break me. I'm tired of being associated with stuff that is siphoning from me. I'm tired of putting things in my mind and in my body that are stealing from me the best years of my life. My hope built. I'll meet you at the altar this morning. My hope is built on nothing less. This is not the milk drinking church. This is the meat eating church. This is the challenge church. This ain't the feel good church. You might feel good about something, but we're going to challenge you for change, because God's word always requires that I repent and turn away from whatever it is that has my attention. Can I get a witness? Somebody's going to be delivered today. Or you may walk out of here continuing to go down the path that you've been going down. John 10:10 says the thief comes only to steal and to kill. All those things right there. They come to steal and kill and destroy. And if I don't have discipline, if I don't have the power of God in my life, you're going to fall. How many people have you seen educated and they still falling? How many of you seen that have great sums of money and they still falling? Could it be that the answer is that you're absent of the one and only power in life that can give you the what you need to resist? Oh, I like it. The way James said that if you resist the devil, he'll what? He'll flee from you. I got to get him out of my house. I've got to get him out of my home. I've got to get him out of my life. Even more than that, I've got to get him out of my children. I've got to teach them how to fight. Because these are the things that will really destroy you in the end. Number 5, good money plus bad character or characters equal poverty every time. Now, money is neither good nor bad. Money is not good or bad. You good or bad? Can I get a witness? You good or bad? And when you mix the money with bad, God makes it plain, you can't get nothing but bad from that. When you're around people, it never dawned on me, Noel, until I got older, when my mother used to say, I don't want you hanging out with that crowd. I don't want you to be around those people right there. What she was really saying is, those are some bad characters. And the same characteristics of them are going to end up in you. It equals poverty every time. Have you ever been around certain people and every time you got blessed, those same people was around you until everything was gone? Can I get a witness? Let me say that again. Have you ever been around folk and you were blessed, and then when you stop being blessed, they cut out on you, and you finally come to the realization, you know what my problem is? You! I've been around you, and every time I'm around you, just like the drugs, I get sucked dry. And now I've got to make a decision. Do I continue to hang out with you? Or do I find some new friends? Sometimes you got to leave your environment behind you. Am I wrong or right? Sometimes you have to leave, you know, where you came from behind you and the people. I'm not saying you got to, because some of those folk in your family, every time you go to a family reunion, you want to try some of this? You want a little drink of this? Can I get a witness? Get so you don't even want to go to the family reunion anymore. At some point you have to say, like Joshua said, as for me and my house, we gonna serve the Lord. We don't do that no more. We're not involved with that. We don't go to those places anymore. Can I get a witness? He says, walk with the wise and become wise. For a companion of fools suffers harm. What is that mama used to say, Cheryl? Be careful of the company you keep. If you lie down with dogs, you wake up with what? oh man, y'all had the same mama I had. All they were saying was there is a sociological impact that is bigger than you. And that if you're around an evil element long enough, it's going to rub off on you. You know, it's only a fool that thinks, oh, mama, I know my boyfriend or girlfriend. I know they look bad now and they into some bad stuff. But mama, I can fix them. You can't fix nobody. Matter of fact, they'll drag you down. Can I get a witness? Every time. I like the way the message puts this. The message says, become wise by walking with the wise, hang out with fools, and watch your life fall apart, fall to pieces. That's what the message says. Hang out with fools and watch your life fall to pieces. Misfortune pursues the sinner, but prosperity is the reward of the righteous. I can't say this enough. You might want to write down this address, Galatians 6:6. Don't be no fool. God cannot be mocked. That means God never sleeps. The same thing, not something different, not something like it, but the same thing that you sow, you're going to reap one day. Can I get a witness? The same thing. You put out evil. See, that's your work. You put out evil, you get back evil. You hang out with evil folk, you get back evil stuff. But by the same token, that if you do good and you hang out with good, can I get a witness? That's why church is so popular, because people get tired of the world. How many of you tired of being around folk that do you in? Don't raise your hand, but young people, hear me. Some of the worst people in the world that get you is your friends. Can I get a witness? Some of the worst people that do you in because of our ignorance. And I'm young. I'm not expecting that the world will beat you up like that. But guess what? You haven't seen nothing yet. I got to start choosing my friends better if I'm going to win this race. I never forget a man. He had a donkey. This is not the donkey story from last week. But he had a donkey. And the donkey could run. Matter of fact, it was a mule, which is a half horse and half. And he could run. He wasn't fast as the horse, but he was faster than most mules. And so the man put him in races with other horses, thoroughbreds. And finally, one of the owners of the thoroughbred racer said to him, you can't put that mule in this race. That mule is not a horse. He said, don't say that like that. He don't know he's not a horse. I figure if I let him run with the horses, he'll keep running faster. Hey, y'all, if you want to be better, then you got to hang out with those who are what? Doing better. If you want to be worse, then you hang out with those who are not. That'll break you quick. Can I get a witness? I see some folks saying, look at my wallet right now. Last one. We had the last one. Y'all want me to sit down? I'm having a good time with this. Thank you, Jesus. I like to have a good time with his word. You know why? Because I know it's true. And I know it's been true in my life. And so everything I tease you about, I've been there. And I know the only way to the Father's thinking. Hey, y'all, the only way. Hey, Paul, the only way to the Father's thinking is through the Son. Can I get a witness? You want to get to the Father? You want to get to the Father's thinking? The only way to the Father's thinking is through the Son's thinking. He and the Son are one. Money you receive in this world can't go to the next. The resources you receive in this world can't go to the next. It says a good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children, but a sinner's wealth is stored up for righteousness. In other words, you are responsible not only for how you use what you have here, but after you leave, you have to have set up something. We call it a trust, or we call it a will, or something that says, take care of my great grands. Give them a leg up on this next life. Give them a foot up. Give them a leg up on their situation. It's going to be tougher. Am I wrong or right? It's going to be tougher. It's going to be harder. And so I left you a little something. I left my church something. Because my church is out there trying to get. Can I get a witness, Sister Georgia? Can I get a witness, deacons in here? Where all of our work is ending up in one place. And that is we're trying to get folk who will line up with God's thinking. And somebody, when you die, hopefully on your deathbed, you will have written a little church right here in Lafayette in your will and say, they helped me. And they helped others. And they didn't make me give anything, but they believed that I could do better. Can I get a witness? That's all we're about. That's all we're about. Trying to get folk to what? Align themselves with God's word. Is it worth it? Is it worth investing in? In the end, will it turn out all right? It worked for you, didn't it? Can I get a witness? I know you look like you haven't sinned all day, but you see, I was there. I know what it feels like to go the other direction. Your wealth is rotted and moth has eaten your clothes, James says. Hey, have you ever seen one of these before? That's a hearse pulling a U-Haul. You ever seen that? I had to make those two. That's not AI. That's Leroy Gainey. I had to make up those two pictures because you won't ever see a hearse pulling a U-Haul. Why? Because you can't take nothing with you. You can't. So, you know, the way you harden, the way you putting that stuff away, you can't take it with you. But you can decide right today what is of value to you and to put it there. Ecclesiastes says, naked a man comes from his mother's womb, and as he comes, so he departs. He takes nothing from his labor that he can carry in his hand. Help. Come on, say it with me. My money is broke. I'm not saying this is exhaustive, but I believe it is the word of God. It is the word of God. Whether I like it or you don't. What is it? Number one. Come on, say it. Yeah, that'll break you quick. You can't help somebody unless you first get help. If I continue to be broke and I'm serving God, I got to ask myself the question, am I around the wrong people? You know, that's one reason why, you know, when you go, I'm a graduate school professor and people come to the school where I am because they want to learn theology so that they can help the churches. Am I making sense? That's the primary reason why they come. And if you come there for any other reason other than that, you're going to hurt yourself and you're going to hurt. And I know some people who have left out of seminary, some evil people, because they didn't have it in their heart to help anybody. Can I get a witness? I know it's hard to believe, and some of y'all sitting up there looking like this. There's some evil preachers. There's some evil ministers. There's some evil. Can I get a witness? You are at the point where you're getting ready to call a pastor. I'm talking about living hope. Lord, send us somebody who is a servant and will teach your word in all areas. Number six. You remember my picture? I didn't show you that this week. The mattress is a purpose why people put money under the mattress. They think that'll make you sleep better, but really, I can't imagine money being, that doesn't look comfortable to me. The real answer is in the pillow where you lay your what? Your head. When Jesus was at the Last Supper with the disciples, it said John laid his what on Jesus? His head. Come on, y'all. Lay your head on Jesus. Come on. I'm going to lay my head on Jesus. What I get in my head, I'm going to get his word, and I'm going to take that word, and I am going to apply it because I know his word to be true. Rest in Jesus is worth more than money. Am I wrong or right? Stand to your feet. Somebody, stand to your feet. Somebody's going out of here today. Never going to be broke again. Why? Not just because I listened to Gainey, but because I applied God's word to my life. This is not a sermon about getting rich, because again, some of the brokest people I know talk about how they serve the Lord. And I'm saying to you, there are some other things that must be wrong then. And this text teaches me I've got to do better. How? Stop pretending. If I don't know, I don't know. So don't go out there stepping out like you do. Stop hanging out with people who are sucking me dry. Start hanging out with people who are praising and giving all of the honor and the glory to God. And that includes their whole life. The doors of the church are open. I'm going to ask our music ministers to come forward. I'm going to ask our counselors if they would come forward. And I'm going to ask you, search your heart this morning. Search your heart. I want to do more for my church, but I'm broke. I want to do more by my children, but I'm broke. I want to do more by my community, but I'm broke. And I'm saying that today we're going to change that. But who does it start with? My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Won't you come? This is always the toughest part of the service because it means I have to expose myself. Nobody wants somebody else to know they're broke. Broken money. That's not the only place you can be broken. Broken marriages. Broken relationship. I don't want my name associated with broke. I serve the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. Won't you come?